Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KOR-UFM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for November 11th, 2019.
Well, once again, good morning, fellow pilgrim. What a delight it is to be with you once again. As we continue looking at portions of the Sermon on the Mount, I'm constantly reminded of this Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, really contains the gospel of the kingdom of God. It contains all of the ways by which the Holy Spirit will lead us to enter into the kingdom of God. And many, many times I've already mentioned that the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, is humbling oneself, is the first step in entering the kingdom. And we go back once again and again to John chapter 3, where we're talking about being born again from another realm. And then we see the kingdom, and then in verse 5 of that same chapter it says, you have to enter the kingdom. So seeing and enter are two different things. And when we're born again from above by the Holy Spirit and we see the kingdom, we humble ourselves when we begin to realize this gracious, magnificent gift Almighty God is giving us, entrance into the rule and the realm of Almighty God on earth. All the way back to the prophecies and of Isaiah and others, that the government will be upon his shoulders. So we're talking about a government that's built on humility and servanthood, and we talked a lot about that in the last podcast. I want to read a few more of the Beatitudes from Matthew 5, and then I'd like to go to another portion of the Sermon on the Mount today. So I'll pick it up in verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Verse 6 was, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And then notice he mentions that again in the 10th verse. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. I somehow look out in our society in this day, in this century in which we are called by the Spirit to live, and you look sometimes in vain for righteousness in government and in law and in education, and political correctness has sort of won the day for a while, and you're persecuted when you stand up for something that's simply true. So as we talk a little more about the kingdom of God today, I want to go to probably one of the most familiar portions of the Sermon on the Mount, and I'll be there in just a moment, but I want to read from John 5 first. John 5, I'm going to pick it up in verse 19 of John chapter 5. Jesus therefore answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." That's a phenomenal verse. Let me read it again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." That's so important. I want to go over and read a verse from the 7th chapter, and it's when they're going to go up to the feast. I'm going to just pick this up in verse 9 of John 7. I hope this will begin to make some sense to you in just a moment. He tells them in verse 8, of John chapter 7, "Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come." Now, I want to read that again, not because I think that we don't hear it. It's that we don't realize something that I'm going to see he implies here that goes back to this verse that I just read from the 5th chapter. "I only do what the Father says to do. I only go where he tells me to go. I only say what he tells me to say." In other words, everything is out of the moments. He lives before his Father completely and totally. So I'm going to read it again and then a couple of other verses right after John 7 again. "Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come." And having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up, not publicly, but as it were, in secret. Now, I read those things and it seems so simple, but do you notice it said, "I do not go up at this time"? And then after all of his friends leave and go up, the time comes for him to go. That seems like such a little thing, but I find it tremendously important for many reasons. It's that we are called to live in the moments of God. Everything that we can do, we have to learn to live and hear the voice of God in the moments. I can't take yesterday's revelation and use it today, or tomorrow's revelation about tomorrow. I have to walk with the Lord. And here in this John 7, he says, "You guys go on up to the feast, it's not my time." And then after they're gone, his time comes. Well, he wasn't lying to them, but someone could have said, you know, when they saw him up there, "Hey, Jesus, I thought you weren't going to come up here." "I didn't say that. I just said it wasn't my time yet." So the point I'm trying to make here is I go back to where I'm going to really sort of zero in on this morning is living in the moments, living by the Spirit of God. And he may say one thing one time and another time something else. And Jesus always lived out of the resurrection, out of the life of his Father. So here we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, the 6th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in the 1st verse. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Now, there is a practicing of righteousness, but you don't do it before men. You want to be righteous before God. You want your heart open to God. You want your heart in such a place that the Spirit can come and fill you with God's righteousness. But if you're doing it just to be seen by men, you've got your reward. That's it. And then the same thing he says in verse 2 about the giving of alms. You don't sound a trumpet before you and say, Hey, see what I'm doing. He says, if that's all you want, that's all you're going to get. Do that in secret. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. And then I'm going to pick it up in verse 5 of Matthew 6. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Well, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, I'm going to get into the Lord's Prayer more completely in the next podcast, but I want to say some things about prayer itself as we enter this whole understanding of walking in the Spirit. Notice it says, when you pray, don't do it. It's not a public deal where you're saying, look how spiritual I am. He's saying, go into your inner room. And I've mentioned before, that used to mean at the time of the scriptures were written, that they would pull their gown or something over their head, and that was a secret place, and they could talk to God in one-on-one. So here is the point that I'm going to make now, and I'm going to expand in the next podcast. Verse 8 said, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I cannot tell you over the years how many times I have read that 8th verse, the Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then Jesus says, as a result then, or pray then, because of that, in this way. I've read right over that, and I think not seen the meaning. About 5 days ago, I was praying the Lord's Prayer again, which it seems to me just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. I've often thought, what a sweet little prayer. It is huge when you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe upon it. He says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Oftentimes when I've prayed the Lord's Prayer or just begun to pray, I pour out my agenda, the needs, the concerns and things. And it isn't that he is not concerned about all of those things. But listen again, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So the proper way, maybe proper is not the right word, but a way that really seems to glorify God our Father is ask him, Father, what do you know I need? And then will I learn to wait upon the Lord, that my strength might be renewed? Now, I'm going to say it now for the third time. Jesus is going to teach them about praying. Therefore, don't be like them when your Father, but for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, as a result of that, Jesus says, pray then in this way, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first thing that Jesus is saying is cry out to the Father, Father, what's on your heart? See, when I was reading back from John chapter 5, Jesus is saying, look, I only go where the Father tells me to go, do what he tells me to do, say what he tells me to say. The point simply being that Jesus didn't come to the Father with his own agenda. He didn't come and say, Father, here's what I think. He's trying to tell us about how to find a relationship with the living God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father God, I just think that we're going to explore this now. And between now and the next podcast, I'm going to pray a seemingly simple little prayer. Lord Jesus, will you please teach us to come to you and ask what you know we need first of all. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you'll bless that simple little prayer. Amen and amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.